and welcome back to the Retro Asylum, the UK's number one retro gaming podcast show.
Hi, Chris.
And we're here. We're in the hello, gentlemen. Hello.
Yeah, on update of firmware.
Hello.
I know. I knew you were going to say that, mate.
This little red dot on the cork. What's that about?
I didn't let him just before going live.
So, listeners,
I'm playing the indie game. What am I playing? The monthly indie game. Come on.
I'm here with Chris O'Regan first and foremost.
Hello.
Back from the nether.
Yes.
I am.
From the beyond. Full time. Not just once a year anymore.
Yeah.
A permanent fixture.
Back from the sausage factory.
Yeah.
I'm still mourning the end of the sausage factory, by the way.
Well, 500 episodes. Had to hang up the hairnet.
Can you do another 500? I quite enjoyed that.
That'll take me another 10 and a half years. So maybe. But
we'll all be very old men by then.
I don't miss the organising and getting the guests in. And that was difficult. But it's something I've done. So here I am. Welcome back to me.
Yay. It's a very worthy project. And also, you've already heard his dulcet tones, James Middleton.
Hello.
And our resident games player for this episode, Mads Christensen.
Yes, please don't laugh at my gaming skills.
Again, not like last time.
I'm just laughing at your inability to update the firmware. But anyway, carry on.
We're not playing Metal Warrior, are we?
Nope, not this time.
And that's a good thing.
No Metal Warrior in this one.
But there is a game over here
I don't think any of these games need instructions, do they, really?
What? Karate Champ? Come on.
Fighters history. Cancel
Fighters history. Well, we're going to come to these because.
We are.
So, this is number three, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've got a bit of history with this
it
one.
Is.
Hey.
All right. Let's tell listeners what we're doing first because we're profesh over here. So, in this episode, listeners, and for anybody who's watching the stream, hello and welcome. We are going to be looking at the Evercade car number three. Which was the Data East Collection number one. It was the third cart released, and we've got about 12 games here to go through. As you'll be able to see, as Mads is demonstrating quite beautifully there on his screen, a lovely mix of games. We're going to look at each one briefly, have a quick chat about them, and see which were our favourites. So go on, Chris, what's your history then with this cart?
Well, bit of public service announcement, actually. Those of you who own Evercade and a series of cartridges, I strongly recommend you check to see every game actually works on them. Mm. For indeed, one of them, Fighters History, wouldn't load on my original version of this cartridge, and I had to send it back. Well, I had to send a video to the lovely people at Blades Entertainment, and they said,
That one ROM?
Just that one ROM, yeah.
Wouldn't load.
Wouldn't start.
I wonder if it was the same on a batch of cartridges, or you've just got lucky.
Maybe, but it's not the first time it's happened to me. I've had carts fail on me.
I've had a couple of carts fail on me where they fail to be read by either device, the VS or the handheld. And then, but to be fair to Funstock, I've dropped them an email. They've asked for a picture and of the fault, and then they've sent me out a replacement cartridge. So
they asked for a video now. So.
Okay.
Yes, they did. On the last one,
Is it not working?
Yes, they did.
So demonstrated how it's not working. So basically, just a bit of PSA: if you've got a bunch of cartridges and you think they all work, you might find that they don't. So be careful.
There we go.
It's a good idea to check out all the games when you buy them.
Yeah.
But number 10, can't buy that for love of money. Yeah. Anyway.
A quick hello in the chat to MDKClue76. Good to have you join us, mate, one of our Discord members. So, Mads, any particular history with this cart yourself, or any kind of notable fondness for Data East output over the years?
Oh, there are lots of games here I love. So I was a huge fan of the original Joe and Mac game. Joe and Mac 2, Lost in the Tropics, but the original in the arcade, I played that a lot. I love Burger Time, as you know. We played that. Was that a high school challenge, or did we actually play it in the gaming club at some point?
I think it was a high school challenge, wasn't it?
Could have been.
It was a high school challenge,
And I'm one of those guys who likes Bad Dukes versus Dragon Ninja in the arcade as well. So
yeah, you have no taste.
I have some history with this. And of course, Midnight Resistance, and this is the Sega Mega Drive version, is one of my favorite Sega Mega Drive arcade conversions. It's a beauty. But one game that I played a lot in the arcade is Two Crew Dudes, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I've only played a little here because I got stuck on other games that kind of took all of my time playing this Data East collection. But I still really love it. It's a fighter where everything is a weapon. But we'll get to that when we play it.
Yeah, good. Okay, good. Yeah, me too. Similar, you know, I've played some of these in the arcade. I would say I've got a general awareness of Data East. I wouldn't say they were a name that I attach any great love to. You know, they've had some good games, they've had some stinkers over the years. They're you know, to my mind, they've, you know, if I see a Namco game come on screen, I'm like, ooh, you know, or if it was a Capcom game, I'd be probably, my eyes would open a little wider than if I see the Data East logo. But I've been surprised, as we were with Atari, I've been surprised by some of these titles. I've enjoyed them more than I was expecting. Some games I haven't played before that I've actually ended up spending quite a lot of time on.
So that version of the Data East logo, as you see on Bad Dudes here, when that popped up on an arcade machine, that would get me interested immediately.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And what about you, Jim? Any particular history or fondness for Data East?
Yeah, I think the it's not on this cartridge, but the one that stands out most for me is RoboCop. I remember playing in the arcades. Yeah. Obviously, that, like I say, it's not on this one. But another one that I think they co-published it with was Spin Master.
Yep.
So that was like a little platformer. It was co-published. 80s.
Okay.
Yeah, co-published with SNK, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good little game.
Yeah, I used to have that from when you had you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always thought it was a tennis game, but it's not, is it?
No, no, it's not.
No, it sounds like it should be.
It's because the weapons are yo-yos. Is that what you call them? Jojo? Yo-yo? Yeah.
Yo-yo.
Yo-yo.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, so yeah, you collect weapons as you go. Yeah, one of them's a yo-yo in it, and then there's others that act as like projectiles and stuff. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good little game, that.
Yeah, it is.
Very good. Well, look on with the show then, boys. Enough of this messing around.
Oh, I don't matter then, do I? No, that's great.
you started with your personal history. Go on.
No, I didn't.
You were first.
I said nothing about Data East, did I?
Now, well, go on then.
Personally, I found Data East, their games overwhelmed them as a company. I found that their output was more prominent than their logo. Quite frankly, it was only in recent times that I knew that, that's a Data East game, is it?
Yeah.
No idea. Mm. So that's my personal, it's maybe sound a bit sort of cold, but maybe that's what they want, you know. This one, retreat, they're not about them, it's about what they make, and that should be applauded.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and they're no more as well. They were defunct in 2003. Having been born in 1976.
Oh.
So Data East is no more. So this is a legacy so
who licensed this then?
I don't know who's got the IP.
A lot of their IP was bought by another Japanese company called G-Mode. I think they'd done mostly mobile games. The rest of their IP, I think something like Carnov, Windjammers.
Yeah.
Went to, right. And I'm going to butcher this, but Paon?
Paon? Oh, yeah, Paon, Paon, yeah.
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 Okay. Yeah.
MDK Clue in the chat has remarked that Data East was born the same year as him. Hopefully you're not defunct, mate, like your birthday twin, Data East.
No. Let's hope not.
Clearly not.
Nope. So far,
quite pioneering, though.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, I mean, RoboCop.
Pioneering. They brought in that Deco cassette into the arcade.
Yeah.
So they were looking at having an arcade and then individual games rather than sort of dedicated arcade cabs. Obviously, the Deco cassette didn't sort of really take off, and it was sort of put to bed pretty quick. But
yeah,
they were there way before Jammer, that's for sure.
Hmm.
Yeah, and didn't they? Didn't Technos sort of spin out from Data East as well? I think I read that in a. Retro Gamer did a big feature on two-part feature on Data East years and years ago. I've still got those issues.
Technos. Yeah, it was founded by ex Data East. Yeah, staff members. Yeah,
they're one of the old guys. Are the old guard? I mean, imagine if we traced a lot of people through from the early days of Data East, they'll filter into many of the Japanese publishers, I imagine. Anyway,
should we get the show started?
On with the show. So we've got what have we got, Matt? We've got about
ten games here.
Right? 10 games.
Yeah,
oh, 10 games. Cool, nice number. We're going to go in order, as we always do. And I'm going to hand over to Jim at this point, because, Jim, you've got notes.
Notes?
Well,
what is this?
Note. I've got note.
Well, I've got his opinions.
I don't know. I'll bring the note, you bring the opinions. So the games that we're going to cover in this disc, we've got Bad Dudes, which was on the NES version. Burger Time. So these are all arcade ports. No arcade games in this one. They're all console ports. Burger Time on the NES. Burning Rubber, which was on the NES. Fighters History, Super Nintendo. Joe and Mac 2, which was a Super Nintendo. Karate
was that
Champ.
Not the Mega Drive version of Joe and Mac, Jim?
I've got Super NES down here. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Also, I've got Super Nintendo down, but Karate Champ, which was the NES version, Magical Drop 2, which was the Super Nintendo, Midnight Resistance, which was our high score game, and I will pull up. We'll go through the high score table for that one. Yeah. Side Pocket, the awesome Side Pocket, which was Super Nintendo, and two Crude Dudes, which was the Super Nintendo version.
Indeed.
So, yeah, I've got good sort of mix of games.
Looks like a Mega Drive cover, though, doesn't it?
I thought that as well, because, like, the pattern. Mm. Yeah.
All right.
That's true.
Let's stop teasing the audience.
So if you watched any of these episodes before, listeners/viewers, you'll know that we'll just go through the games and play a bit and talk over it. And we always start by reading some of this little blurb here. So, Jim, since you've taken it on yourself to be the host,
I will.
Do you want to read them, or should I?
I'll read it out. I'll read it out, and then we can just alternate if you want for the rest of them.
Yeah, no worries.
But so Bad Dudes. This was on the NES. It's a walk right and fight, beat 'em up, if you like, whatever you want to call it. There's a little blurb inside the manual. It says, there's a lot going on here that might escape your eye at first glance. A brawler with ninja platforming elements, bad dudes that feels so 80s, it hurts, but in a good way. You have been tasked with rescuing President Ronnie from ninja kidnappers. Obviously, only the baddest dudes can do this by battling through levels, dicing with death along the way. As you would expect, at the end of each level, a boss will await you. They're not nice people. We believe in you. The president's life is in your hands. And obviously, they're bad dudes. And they've got to be called Blade and Striker.
Of course. Yeah. Well, since you just read some...
What's that blurb from?
Go on.
It's not on the screen.
No, it wasn't.
I think he's reading it from the manual. It from the manual?
Yeah. We've only done a few, and Jim has the memory of a goldfish, so he's already forgotten the format of the show, of course, so he didn't read what was on the screen, which is what we normally do.
I can't read that, Matt. It's too small on my screen.
That's just fine, mate. That was a beautiful intro. So
it was great. It was actually better than what they've written.
Yeah, it was. It was, for sure. Let's get into the game. So
it's a walk right and fight. As Jim said.
With a ripped Blade and Striker.
Yep. Liking the colour palette here. This is very NES.
1989 on the NES.
NES.
It was 1988 in the arcade, so
between the two? I remember.
There's what, sorry?
There's only difference between the two.
It doesn't feel like there's any difference when you're playing it, but yeah.
What, between the NES and the arcade version?
No,
you can
choose between characters. Two characters.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say.
Deal.
Yeah. Yeah, you can do. I presume you can do two player, and I assume it's alternate two player rather than simultaneous. Does anybody know?
I would have thought so. It's. I mean, this is. It struggles. It struggles with one player on the screen. Never mind throwing two in.
Yeah, check out that sprite flickering.
Yeah,
it's not great, yeah. Is it? I mean, the animation. What did you guys?
It wasn't. It wasn't a strong start for the cartridge. I don't. For me, anyway, no. It wasn't. I love a walk, write, and fight. Absolutely love them. And this one wasn't the greatest.
Yeah, I think for anybody who's played the arcade version, I think the beauty of the arcade version, or you know, I think it's quite a boring game, the arcade version anyway. But the one thing that it does do, almost everything is just a one hit kill, isn't it? So you just walk right, you just punch at everything. Dudes come at you from all angles, but everyone goes down in one hit. This though, yeah. The enemies require multiple hits.
Yeah,
some of them do.
How do you avoid taking damage? Like, I just don't understand how can you avoid it?
That's true.
I haven't died yet.
Having said, no, you haven't. But I'm gonna say,
it's Carnage.
It does a really, really good job of sort of the pacing of it. It's really up there with the arcade. I'm gonna say it sounds a bit odd, but it just feels like you are this almost unstoppable punching machine.
Yeah,
and
I kind of like that as well.
It does a really good that atmosphere of feeling of you are pretty much unstoppable does a great job of that. And this is an 8-bit machine. Look at it. I mean, yes, it's a lot of flickering, but you know, it's still quite an impressive feat. And the amount of frames of animation and the sprites that are running around, it's, you know, it can't really attack it too much. But it's not my kind of game, I've got to say. It's not my kind of thing. I mean, not really a big fan of these kind of games. But I was surprised at how competent this one was. There you go.
Okay. I mean, it's not. So, it's for me. It was.
You almost had him.
Almost had him on the first life.
It's not Shinobi, is it?
No,
it's not Shinobi, and you could probably level this at a few of these Data East games on here. You've got Shinobi, which came out like before Bad Dudes, and this feels like a poor version of Shinobi. Two Crude Dudes feels like a poor version of Streets of Rage.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Fighter's History is like a poorer version of
Street Fighter. A superior version of Street Fighter 2, you mean?
Yes.
But you know, they're not. They're like copies, but not quite there.
I actually prefer Two Crude Dudes to Streets of Rage. Heresy, I know.
I mean, it's your opinion, isn't it, mate?
The thing I really like about this is look at the fact now that I picked up a weapon, you could use that. That was like early on in the arcade for fighters to have stuff like this, I feel. I mean, I know Doll Dragon had it as well, but I love that in the fighters where it was, you weren't just punching and kicking, but you could pick up stuff and use that and so on. And this hasn't, so. I was well entertained playing.
And I will say, like, some of the scrolling on the backgrounds is nice.
Yeah.
I mean, this is good. I think this is particularly technically impressive, this level.
It is, yeah.
You know, I think it's got a nice little layer of scrolling there. You've got the lovely effect on the wheels.
And if you fall off the car, you can feel that it's actually. Let's just try to do it.
Going on between the lorry carts though? What's that blue thing?
It's a waterfall, mate. You've never seen that before.
the lorry.
It's the future.
Yeah.
You know, the weapons in this, though, are completely overpowered. If you can get a weapon like you've got now, Mads, you're pretty much unstoppable because everything then does become wonkers. And of course, you can punch the throwing stars as well, which is always fun.
Yeah, I'm really, really bad at that, but I'm trying to.
I ended up enjoying this far more than I had felt like I had any right to enjoy it. I actually played through, I got towards the end of level 4, and I tell you can't hear it on the stream, but the music, man, the music in level 2 particularly is an absolute all-timer for me. If anybody's not heard it, just Google Bad Dudes NES Level 2 music. It's an absolute all-timer.
So you can actually hear that the stream, problem is that we're talking over it, of course.
Oh well, we can't hear it on Discord.
Oh, we're not hearing it. Yeah, we're not hearing it on our.
The watchers and listeners are. So.
And I think the music's actually better than the music in the on the arcade version. So I really like it.
I feel like you can actually
ridicule me for my gaming skills this time because it's the first credit on Thursday.
It's called Dudes.
Good. You know, on the
no excuses on this one, lads, because you can concentrate on the game.
Yeah, we're chatting.
That's true.
On the European home computer ports, this was called Dragon Ninja, and in the arcades, it's called Bad Dudes versus Dragon Ninja.
True. Versus, yeah.
The C64 port is a picture.
Oh, I've not checked that out. Go on.
Yeah, it's not good.
No,
not good. No.
Oh no.
No, it moves. Yeah, it barely moves, and it looks terrible. Yeah. But they all got ports, the ZX Spectrum, the Amstrad CPC, so maybe this could feature on a future 8-bit Wars.
Probably not.
I find this, Steve Erickson actually likes this game, though.
Yeah, I like it as well. I mean, and I find this NES version, it's quite good. There's a lot of sprite flavoring, but it's quite playable, isn't it? So.
Yeah.
Enough?
Throw in save states as well, and you can.
Oh yeah,
and you could probably get through it with save states.
Matt's just gonna one credit clear this. Look at this.
I think he might. He doesn't need save states, does he?
You get a weapon. Bad dude.
He is
unstoppable.
He is a bad dude.
I am.
No, we've got a comment here from. I just want to read this comment from MDKJew76 on Twitch. He agrees with you, Chris, that the NES he thinks is quite a faithful port. But he understands what I was saying about the whole one-hit thing, though. He says he finds it weird that they changed that. I agree. I suspect it was something to do with trying to make the game longer. That feels like it might have been an attempt to do that.
Yeah, it could be.
I think it just makes the gameplay suffer, in my opinion.
So let's jump on to the next game then. Burger Time. Mm.
Yeah, Burger Time. Again, another NES game.
Mike, I can see it.
Read it, because the manual is different to what it says on the.
I'm older than you as well, mate, and I can read it.
No, I know, but I'm on my laptop, aren't I? That's my excuse anyway.
So this is Burger Time, and the Evercade blurb says in Burger Time you play Chef Pepper. Your goal is to assemble giant hamburgers while evil eggs, sausages, and pickles chase you around. What a bizarre game! Pickles. The recipe couldn't be simpler. Just put all of the ingredients together by walking over them, dropping them down from above onto the next section until the burger is complete. Boiling food will squish any enemy caught in its path and bump the ingredient below it further down. If you're in a pinch, Chef Pepper has a limited supply of pepper you can deploy to temporarily distract your foes, allowing you to safely walk past them. Be careful, because if you run out, you'll have to find more pepper shakers to restore it. All in a day's work for a master chef.
Nicely done.
This is not how MasterChef is normally portrayed.
No, this is not Greg Wallace.
I'm not sure if we've ever shown this to the viewers, actually, but I love that the controls are always mapped down here so you can see exactly what's going to happen when you play the game.
And honestly, the Evercade does look after its player base.
It does. Sure.
Thankfully, this one is not very complicated.
No. Both buttons just use the pepper.
But I have opinions.
and you can change those controls as well to configure it.
So I'm actually playing it this time with a what's it called, the M30. So it's like a 6-button Mega Drive controller, wireless from 8-bit Do, because that was just I don't really appreciate the controller for the Evercade DS. No. It's very clicky and very clunky.
So, Burger Time is a very famous game.
The D-pad is a little.
Yeah, go on, Jim.
No, I was just saying the D-pad can be a little bit tricky at times,
especially on this game.
Those diagonals.
Yeah, especially on this one.
Yeah.
This is the NES version, or the NES version.
Yep.
And I've played a lot of ports of Burger Time. I think one of my favourites is on the Intellivision. Don't laugh. Check it out. It's amazing.
Yeah, one of the first ones around.
Yeah, but. I mean,
what did you make of this one?
I thought I really enjoyed it, but my big negative was really the ladders. It's difficult to know when you latched onto the ladders, and also the music was a bit sort of distorted at the beginning. I'm not sure what that was about, but that's my big beef. But once you overcome the ladder issue, it becomes the burger time. It's the same herding up of the sausages underneath the bun and then just letting that thing drop on top of them.
Yeah.
Mm. Also, but one little negative, the little egg. One of the things about the egg on the arcade version, it has that black dot in it. That menacing black dot. it's not there in this one.
No.
What is that sinister black dot?
It's a sinister black dot in the middle of the yolk that, yeah, I always found it terrifying. Don't know why, because the egg is the faster of the foes.
Yeah.
But he gets, you get the most points when you take him out, which is very satisfying. Because I think he's not as smart as the dot is. At least in this version, anyway. But a more than competent version, but then this game isn't that particularly demanding. There's no flickering. The sound is great. It's very convincing, apart from, like I said, some distortion. I found this to be a more than one of the best games on the cart, in my humble opinion.
Yeah.
What about you, Jim? Sorry, Matt.
No, I was just about to say, I completely agree with you on the problem with the ladders, and that's actually made me not really enjoy this game. I like Burger Time, but the ladder problem here...
You've cleared that first level out pretty easily.
Yeah, true. Maybe I'm just getting used to it not by now, but I've been a bit annoyed with it, actually, the NES version.
Hmm. Any thoughts, Jim?
Yeah, I'd agree with Chris. It's not too far off, is it? It's not too, as an arcade port, it's not too far off. I've never been the biggest Burger Time fan, but it's not too far off. Like the audio's there. Graphically, there's not that many cuts to get it onto the NES. Yeah, it's not a bad port.
Mm. I have to say, Matt, you're not bad at this, are you? You're not.
He's
the kiss of death on you there, mate.
He's a monster.
Yeah, you're making these ladders look a lot easier, to be honest, than I made it look.
Yeah.
I'm with Matt, I think, on this one. I found this more frustrating than anything. I think technically it feels like a very competent port. I mean, it looks like Burger Time. It feels like Burger Time. The level layouts are the same.
Yep.
I just found it so difficult because it always just took me that kind of half a beat more to get on and off the ladders. And
yeah, exactly.
It sounds like it would be an overly picky, but I think in a game that's all about planning your route and going for it as quickly as possible.
Yeah. You want to be confident that you can bloody make it.
Yeah.
Exactly that.
You shouldn't fight with it. The amount of times I'll go down a ladder when I didn't want to. And you end up, it's just... Because this game is about precision.
And then you end up in that sort of half on, half off, and yeah.
Yeah,
about so herding this... all the enemies and then taking them out.
Yeah.
One lovely foul swoop.
It is a lot of fun as a game. This, the arcade version is on the Data East arcade collection. I think it's arcade collection 1.
Okay.
So if you put this in your VS alongside the arcade, you can actually play both of them pretty much side by side. Mm. Which is what I did, and I actually kind of had to remind myself how much I enjoyed the game by playing the arcade version, because this I was getting quite frustrated with it.
Yeah.
And you get the black dot and the egg.
Yeah. You do get the black dot and the egg. It's Burger Time, right?
And... But it's a colour palette that suits... It's a colour palette that suits the NES as well, which helps.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I find the NES is good at those single-screen kind of arcade games, isn't it?
Yeah.
It kind of seems to excel with them, Popeye and Donkey Kong and...
Yeah.
Especially Popeye. Oh, yeah.
Mm. So, ready for the next game?
Yeah.
All right.
Burning Rubber. Burning Rubber, or Bump and Jump, as it was known in the arcades.
Yeah.
Do you want to take this one, Chris?
Okay, sure.
I pressed the wrong button. Give me a sec.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Mads.
Oh, we're back to the menu.
There we go.
Or I can read the manual spiel.
Here we go. Burning Rubber. Do you ever wish you could jump your car over the traffic clogging up the road ahead of you? No. Burning Rubber lets you do just that. Oh, great. Sometimes known under titles Buggy Popper or Bump and Jump, Burning Rubber is an exciting driving game where you take the wheel of an amazing car that can catch some serious air. The goal is to drive through each stage while bumping enemy vehicles into obstacles and jumping over large obstacles such as water or bridges. These obstacles, never mind. If you manage to land on another car, you'll earn some extra points. Pick up some of the cans of petrol on the road to make sure you don't run out of gas, and try not to get bumped off the road yourself. It's up to you if you want to play it safe and just try to stay away from the other cards, or if you want to show off your stuff and risk it all for a high score.
Yeah, mm. Let's get into it.
You particularly like this one, Jim?
Yeah. I did, mate, yeah. I did really like this one. I think the obvious comparison is of it like Spy Hunter, I suppose, isn't it?
Certainly, yeah, visually.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this one. Made it up to, I think, like level 4 or something.
What
level
was that?
4 or 5.
Who was that?
That's you. That's who you're trying to rescue. Curse whoever put the trees in the middle of the road, though. Imagine you've got to dodge.
Yeah, I know. Just
the club has nothing about rescuing anyone.
Yeah, but the trees fall off the lorry, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
So you know the tree is coming. So you don't want to be. You got to watch where the lorry's going because there's going to be a tree in the road.
It's an oddly forgiving game. I found it to be. The only thing you really screw up is. Sorry, Timmy.
No, go on, mate.
I was just saying, it's really. I do love my Upper Derbyshire drivers, but this one is a. I'm drawn to it because most of them are really hard within the first few seconds. You ever played Spy Hunter, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, there's two ways to play this one, really. So you've got the bumping element where you can bump into the other cars to send them off the road. But then you get more points by clearing the level without bumping into cars. You'll get a massive points bonus if you clear the level without bumping into anyone. How you would do that, I do not know.
But without touching anything?
Without touching anything, yeah, you'll get a big points bonus.
Wow, that almost looks impossible. Because the other thing, obviously...
Especially because...
Yeah, go on, mate. I think there's a bit of a delay on your line, Jim.
Yeah, there might be. I'm in a browser, aren't I? So there might be. You got the cars coming from the bottom, coming from the top, and they'll alter their speed to try and collide with you. Mm. Some cars you can bump off to the side, but some of the other cars you can't.
I do like
they will bump you.
The screen said, "Well done, you smashed into a bunch of cars."
Mads is doing, for people who are watching the stream or watching this on YouTube, what Mads is doing there is good. So you're landing on cars, which is how you get some extra points. Mm. But the other thing you're battling with here is the fuel as well, which is always going down. That was an indie arcade version. It was kind of an extra mechanic they added for the home version. Mads has just got the big boy there, so 500 points.
Nice.
I really enjoyed this game. Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
It plays really well in the handheld, really well.
Yeah.
Gotta say.
It does, and you can rotate the screen on the handheld
That's a nice thing to do. But I loved kind of setting up the cars near the edge of the road and then giving them a good old whack, and you end up taking two or three of them out at once, and it's really good.
Yeah, it's just the iron weed is the problem. Oh no, there's trees, you just can't... Drive through.
There you go.
There it is. As if I summoned it.
Yeah, I think when I first started it, I found that I thought to myself that was quite unfair. But I think you know that you do not want to be behind that tree wagon.
No.
And if you're not, it does get tough. How far did you guys get in it?
I only got. To
I think I made it to like level 4 or 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I got to 3.
Yeah.
I got to 4. It's hard.
The thing that
was level 3 the one with the lovely damsel in the racing outfit?
Yes, it was.
I think that was level 3, was it? Yeah.
Yeah. Go on, Chris. You were saying.
It's very easy to get copied.
Yes.
Get overconfident. That's my way around. Because the opening levels just make you go, I'll just trundle around, bump around. You know, no one's gonna, you know, just I think that's the charm, isn't it? Really, it leads you into a false sense of security, and they go, actually, I'm gonna go if you kick you up the rear end because you think you got this, but you haven't. Scrolled beautifully. Look,
yeah, it does, and it's like
it does.
There's not
really smooth. Really smooth.
There's not a huge amount to the game mechanically. I mean, what you see here is what you get. I mean, this is it. Only on the levels you get a different road layout. They tend to get narrower. And the cars get a little bit more chunky so that it becomes hard. They do more kind of push damage to you. But as a as a high score chaser, this game is, you know, it's one of those fun for 20 minute kind of games, isn't it? No problem.
Well,
And there is like a strategy. You do have to use that accelerate and brake. You can't just hold accelerate because you will hit other cars and you will get smashed into the scenery. Yeah. So you do have to operate the accelerate and the brake.
But when you're approaching like a big gap, that is really a bit frustrating. Like I've got to pick up speed. I'm not going to make it across this thing.
That's
quite interesting. So you've got to have a bit of a run up before you hurl yourself across the screen like this. But I love the animation when the car becomes bigger. This is really lovely. It's good stuff.
Yeah, MDKJU on Twitch has compared the game to LED Storm. Same jump mechanic, he says. Anybody familiar with that one?
No.
I don't know it either. Sorry, mate. But he compares the jump mechanic to that game. Yeah. So, it's a fun game. It's not something that you're going to play for hours on end, but it's generally quite a fun little game.
One of the upper ones in this car, but we're talking about for sure.
I would say that. Yeah, one of my favourites on the car.
Yeah, it's one I looked at when we were looking at ones games to pick for high score. I looked at this one.
Yeah,
so I'll be the contrarian then. I like these kind of driving games. They're actually my favourites. These kind of top down driving games. But I find this really one dull as dishwater. I mean, there's nothing to it. It's just not fun.
It is a very simple game. I'll give you that, and it does get boring.
These kind of games are fun for 5 minutes, and then I won't play them anymore anyway. So for me, this is one of the worst games on the court.
Oh, interesting. Did you play Karate Champ?
I did. Yeah. I will have more fun trying to figure out how to play that game than playing this.
Yeah, I like this as a little bit of a pick-up and play. As Chris said, it's perfect for the handheld format, and you can just pick it up 5 or 10 minutes and then you can put it away. We've got AlMac73 now in Twitch, who has said, same look and jump in LED Storm or LED Storm. Mm-hmm. Apparently, it's got a great Amiga version, Mads. MDKJU says.
I should have to investigate.
Moving on to Fighters History.
Fighters History.
This is an interesting one.
So now we get a huge move set all of a sudden, because this is, of course, a one-on-one fighter.
Yeah, so this would have been on the old... this would have needed the 6 buttons of the Super Nintendo pad, wouldn't it? Would have used them all in a very similar way to this, I imagine.
Yeah.
Do you want me to read, Jim? Or have you got
glasses on? Unless you want me to read out the manual.
Go on, that might make a nice change. Go on, then.
Yeah, read out the manual, mate.
Yeah, go on, then. So the game that would be king of fighting games, Fighters History, is a solid brawler with a familiar cast of characters and standard fighter imports. You can say that again. Basically, if you've played any fighting game in the past 20 years, you'll be right at home here. While everything might seem familiar, even derivative of other fighters, you'll be amazed at how solid Fighters History is on its own terms and why it's such a cult classic today.
Derivative, really? Does it look like another fighting game?
Yes, I think it is. I don't know. I think it might. There might be some subtle, nods to.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible, isn't it? Really, everything.
It's Street Fighter, isn't it? In all but name, basically.
It's an absolute,
but not as good,
rip-off of. I mean, even the title screen screams Street Fighter.
Yeah, that's a bit.
I mean, you see the character
mode
selection.
Look at the character selection.
That's Chun-Li, isn't it?
Right, you've got Ryu, and you left, you've got Ken.
It's shocking, really, isn't it? It's not good. We talked about this. Where did we talk about? Might have even been on playthrough.
I think we was on playthrough, mate. Yeah.
I think it was. Capcom sued Data East over this for copyright infringement. Surprise, surprise. The surprising thing is they lost. Hence why we can continue to play it, because they lost, and I am pretty staggered that they lost. I mean, if you talk about look and feel, you know, this is Street Fighter in my mind.
Is that a bad thing, though?
Yeah, 100%. Even the movesets, they're the same movesets as they are in Street Fighter in terms of the commands.
Those
down, diagonal, right, those rolls, they're all, yeah, I mean, they are pretty much standard sort of movesets, aren't they, for these types of games, but at the time, yeah, I mean, Street Fighter
That's a good point, isn't it? I mean, a lot of the systems we take for granted in combat games...
Yeah.
Are, you know, not necessarily patented in it that much. They are very different to it as games. We all know Tekken is a very different game to Virtua Fighter, etc.
Yeah.
But
it's a look and feel thing though, Chris, isn't it? I think, you know, you play something like Samurai Showdown, some would say it is derivative of Street Fighter 2 because that influenced so much. But it has its own look and feel.
Yes.
It doesn't feel like playing Street Fighter.
It does, and the move commands are different from Street Fighter. In the same way that something like Killer Instinct is very like that's very combo driven, and the move commands.
Yeah.
There's lots of and Street Fighter does have characters with hold commands, but they're a lot. And Mortal Kombat, the commands are different. I don't know about modern Mortal Kombat, but early Mortal Kombat, the commands are different to sort of Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Whereas this is just ripped straight from it.
Yeah.
So, can I venture an opinion on this one? Because I'm not the biggest expert or fan of fighter games. In fact, I fighting games, beat 'em ups. I mean, I fell in love with them, not in the Street Fighter. It was Soul Calibur or Soul Blade was the one that got me.
Because
I love the rotating and the 3D effect and being able to, you know, dodge out of the way because you're moving in a 3D space. That's what I loved about those games. Whereas, but then ever since then, I've got an appreciation for these types of games, and I found this to be a bit of a surprise. I was expecting something really turgid, like you know, knockoff, like, you know, almost.
It plays really well.
It looks great. Look at those backgrounds.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
it's like the palettes there.
It looks incredible as well. Yeah,
it's a SNES game that reeks of it. It looks wonderful. What that machine could really do some amazing things.
Yeah.
And this really demonstrated that. None of the 16-bit computers can have a chance of doing this.
No, God, no.
Contemporary at the time. Yeah. So, yeah, this is... I'm pleasantly surprised by this game, and I'm happy I have the cartridge with it on. Because I do find myself picking up it now and again and playing it on my commute now, because I just find it just such a charming fighter. It's really... It's quite... It's not that unforgiving. Once you... It really rewards you, like, understanding, as Mads is demonstrating fantastically well here. Once you get into the moveset and understand the blocking and the it's really fun game. So that's my take on this.
I actually completed it on because the difficulty level. So on easy, I think on my fifth or sixth go, actually finished the game.
Okay.
I don't think you. I think on the harder difficulties, there is an extra boss. But I it went on my completed list of games for 2024. Of course it
is. Nice.
I was all right when I knocked down the difficulty level, but as soon as I was up on normal, I struggled with it.
I'm on normal right now, I believe, because I just started it, right?
I think so, default.
Yeah, defaults.
But I do completely agree with Chris. I was... You know, I'm not a big fan of, you know, as any listeners to Retro Asylum or Nomads and I am not big fans of one-on-one fighters.
No.
So, you know, I'm not. I imagine if you're a super big fan of Street Fighter 2, this, you maybe wouldn't like it as much. But for me, who is a casual appreciator of Street Fighter 2 without really being a fan of it. I just enjoyed it. I mean, I was reeling off some special moves. I was, you know, I was blocking away. And, yeah, I mean, I think I probably, of all the games on this card, this is the one I played the most.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's amazing is that I just picked up the box of this card. The front cover doesn't even feature this game.
No.
It's just like, come on. Oh, no, it's not that well known. None of it. I mean, I hadn't heard of it, but this is a bit of a corker.
Yeah.
Good. Might actually play
and it's
on
the Switch Online service as well for Super Nintendo, so you can.
Yes, it is. Yeah, a couple of these are on the Magical Drop. That's on there. Yeah.
What did you think then, Mads? You're expertly cracking through this game here. What do you make of it?
So for me, it was, this is going to be heresy, but better than Street Fighter because it's easier. I don't really appreciate a Street Fighter.
It's more approachable. I don't know the same.
Exactly. I had more fun here than I ever had with Street Fighter.
Backgrounds are just so awesome. Look at this one.
People are screaming at their computers right now.
Yeah, this is heresy, isn't it?
I'm just putting myself in the other corner, and I don't think it's a patch on Street Fighter. So. When the hate comes, go for them.
Yeah. I've got to say, though, you know, Retro Side, we're proud of our contrarian views, and even between us, so you know, stay on brand, everyone. Right? Saying weird stuff about video games.
Yeah.
MDKG on Twitch has said, "No, Matt.
I'm sorry. I know I'm wrong, of course, but I just never liked Street Fighter."
No, I do. There is something quite approachable about this game, and I think if you're not really a fan of these games, I'm absolutely terrible at them.
Yeah, me too. I'm a button measure for sure. Yeah.
I mean, look at these backgrounds. Look at this.
Just astonishing. We're looking at this temple. I'm not entirely sure if it's a Chinese.
What's the kiddie doing on the throne, though? What's he?
I know he's having a. What's going on there?
He's playing some pocket pool, I think.
He is, yeah, I think so. You need to go to the toilet.
Really good, though.
Very playable. Playable fighter. And
playable fighter.
The next cartridge that we'll cover has got an example, I think, of a terrible fighter. So
I can't wait to hear Mads talk about clay fighters.
That'll be good.
Go on then, let's move on.
I'm doing so good.
Like Green Man, he's dancing. Look, he's having a whale.
I think he'd want CC this. Fella.
He's listening to Papa Don't Preach.
So I just quick saved because then I can get back.
Yeah, I'm back.
Look at that. Mads is going to put it on his completed game.
I don't think that counts as a 1cc if you save data, though.
Damn it.
Yeah, but we have busy lives, Jim. Busy lives.
True. So here comes a beauty, if you ask me at least. Joan Mack, Lost in the Tropics.
Go on.
Shall I take this one, the blurb?
Sure. Go ahead, mate.
So the crown of legend is gone. Caveman heroes Joe and Mac have volunteered to search for the missing crown and bring it back so the peace can be restored. Of course, they're not risking their lives just out of the goodness of their hearts. The adoration of the people has all sorts of benefits after all. In spite of their ambition and passion, this is still Joe and Mac we're talking about. They may have a little problem with navigation. Who doesn't? So let's hope they don't get lost. Dive into prehistoric action on your own or with a friend. There's even a competitive mode. Bash, dash and leap your way through fast-paced, funny and fierce levels that will take you on a Stone Age adventure. Visit the village market for clues and power-ups and do your best to woo the locals with your heroic style. Recover the crown, get rich and become the toast of the town. Just don't take a wrong turn on the way.
Yeah, well done, mate. So this for sure was my favorite on this card. I've spent so many hours playing through this and I'm at the very last boss fight, which is so bloody hard, I can't get past it.
So what happens then? Because I haven't got that far. I've got to say, I think I've got about 2 jewels left to get.
Yeah, so I got all the jewels and that opens up this rainbow path to the final stage. Give me a sec. Sorry. So this opens up this final path so you get to the final boss. But before you get there, it's a boss rush. And you have to do that boss rush on just the lives you have, and I mean on one credit. If you restart with a new credit, you have to start the boss rush over again.
So that's grim.
Yeah, but actually I find that all of the bosses, their move patterns are so that you can actually learn to do them without getting hit.
Yeah
and I had good fun trying to do that, so yeah, let's get into it.
And then but the final boss was a right dog.
The final boss is this guy who steals the crown.
Oh,
right,
of course, yeah.
Yeah, and he is, I mean, I got there this is going to be spoilers for a very old game, but once you beat him, you've actually beat him once before when you get to him the last time, but once you go to the final fight, he has a second stage. And that second form is incredible. So hard to beat.
Yeah. What did you make of it, Chris?
I thought it was a beautifully crafted platform action adventure game. I thought out of the example, the many examples of this kind of game of this period, it's one of the better ones. I think it's really, this is the SNES version, gotta be with all the palette and stuff. So I really did like it. I thought it was a little bit unfair in terms of where you could go, and there wasn't leaps of faith going on here, but then again, considering the period, they didn't really know how to do. I mean, this is not the game design stuff they have nowadays with platformers like Animal Well and things like that.
Yeah,
they're not as sophisticated as they are now, which does, unfortunately, I get frustrated with that. It's stupid, because I should be more forgiving, because they didn't know any better. But it's still sometimes you go, come on, you could have done better. But other than that, I did. I think the animation, the palettes, the scrolling, you just so smooth.
Yes.
No flickering. The flickering only occurs when you're hit or when to inform you about something, not because there's a problem with the programming or coding. So yeah, very well optimized to the machine. Definitely made the SNES sing. The sprites are huge.
Yeah.
And they are. Yeah. Yeah.
And there's lots going on. It also follows the axiom of always have something happening on the screen, moving on the screen to indicate that something happened. It's really important. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of this one. Big thumbs up. Works really, really well on handheld as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's me. Mm-hmm. A big thumbs up. So it's just a little bit, I'm not going to say a little bit. It is very difficult. So know that. But once you overcome that and realise this is a challenge, just embrace it, that's what I say.
Yeah, it's funny, it got criticised back in the day for being too easy and too short.
Yeah.
Really?
I would actually say platforming is quite easy in this one for me. But the boss fights you need to practice. And once you practice them, as I said, they have good patterns, so you can actually learn them and master this game. The only one that seems impossible right now is the final boss fight, right?
I found that lava level difficult, though, didn't you? With, like, the lava chasing you across the screen.
No, I imagine... No, I found this part, the very first level. This part I found hard.
Yeah, it's a bit tricky.
Yeah, this bloody cart.
I'm so bad at those cart rides.
Yeah.
You just don't like Donkey Kong.
I would say... I'd say this game is far... Don't you bring Donkey Kong into this. I would say this game is far less of a coin guzzler than the original, though.
This is not an arcade conversion, Jim.
No. And that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
No, I love the mini
and
the
it shines
details,
and it shines even more for that.
Yeah. When you eat a tomato, I believe that's what he eats. You can spit out the seeds and use that as a weapon. When you eat chicken, you spit out the chicken bones and use that as a weapon.
Yeah. It's got some nice touches. The animation's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, like his little facial expressions, you know, when he gets on one of the things that you can ride.
Yes.
He kind of looks at the camera as if to say, what are you doing to me?
And there are multiple things to ride. Yeah, I mean, there's this bloody card and all sorts of stuff. So there's lots going on.
Yeah, I mean,
great little game.
Cavemen and ninjas. Like, I think there was a time in the 90s, wasn't there, when we were a bit obsessed with cavemen and
are we really? I'm not sure about that, because there were some prominent the cavemen games. I can only think of Bonk, isn't it?
Like Chuck Rock.
And Chuck Rock on this one, really. I can't think of many more. Whereas ninjas, they're everywhere.
Mm. Well, they gave you the best of both worlds in this one. It's a caveman ninja.
Yeah, it is.
I imagine it'd be good fun in two-player mode as well, because I assume it's two-player simultaneous from the blurb. And that there's some friendly fire can be had as well, which I think could be fun. It is a good game, though. It's
like I said, plays really well in handheld.
Yeah. it's definitely my kind of game, I reckon.
Great looking game, and it's great fun to play. I mean, play it with save states, get all the way through a stage, and then save and go on. It's a beautiful game on the Evercade.
It's got a nice in-game password system as well. So every time you do get through a level, you can go and you can go back to your home village, can't you? And get a password there that will allow you to resume. Not very good if you've lost loads of credits on that level, but I think the idea is, isn't it, you get good at a level, you get through it, you haven't lost many lives, you go and record your password, and then you get back to it next time.
And
you work.
I can imagine this getting a little bit lost back in the day, because these would have been 10 a penny, wouldn't they, in 1993?
Yeah, but look at it, though. I mean,
yeah, perhaps.
Oh, I know. I'm not saying... No, I'm saying it's absolutely stunning. It's incredible. And it's a great game to play. It plays well, but... There's no sort of like big license attached to it or anything like that.
I know
that,
what you mean.
There?
Yeah. It's probably a sequel to it was the third game in the Joe and Mac series.
Yeah, Joe and Mac, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but that was huge. The Joe and Mac Caveman Ninja arcade game. People loved that here.
Yeah. And then there was another one, remember, wasn't there, that was a console only game, I think.
Congo Caper, was it, I think?
I think so, yeah.
So stuff we're missing from the original games, the arcade games, is like the Chili Peppers you could pick up. So he went into frenzy mode or some the little details I miss, but it's still a really really decent game for the. Was it the SNES, this one, or?
Yeah, it was the Super Nintendo. That's right.
Yeah,
there is a. I'm pretty sure, and I don't have it in front of me now. I'm pretty sure this got a Toki style remaster/re-release.
Okay.
I think you're right, Chris. I remember seeing that on the Switch.
Yeah, and it's on Steam as well. Yeah. I think it was on Steam. I think it was on sale for 79p last week.
A remake, is it? I'll check that out.
I don't know whether it's a remake or it's kind of a remix. But again, you know, some people really don't like the look of those modern kind of
That's it. It's got that modern sort of HD shine, hasn't it?
Yeah.
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 We're looking at the final boss here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the final boss. Oh, you just loaded your save state? Yes, I went into a save state. This is the final boss, but I didn't even get him to the second form right now. So I forget how I approach him. He's kind of tough in himself.
He looks like a blanker.
Yeah, he does. He does, for sure.
I was just gonna say that. Yeah, yeah.
You're a better gamer than me, Mads.
This one is very, very tough.
Yeah, I'm nowhere near this.
No, it's a beauty of a game. What I didn't actually get to show the viewers here is that there's also when you're through a stage. Stages are these multi-level things, and you have a boss fight at the end. When you're through a stage, there's an open world, like a world over. World map that you run around in and pick the next level you want to enter. So you can do the objective is to find 7 crystals, and once you have all the crystals, you can open the rainbow bridge and get to the boss rush, which was great fun. And then this final boss that I've got no idea how to handle. And if you say continue here, so back in the day, you'd have to go all the way back to the boss rush now. So I've done that very many times. Oh, here we have the world map.
Looks stunning. Very chrono, or like Chrono Trigger-esque.
Yeah, you get through that first level, and then it's pretty much, you can tackle the levels in any order you want, can't you, after that?
Exactly. The only thing that's gated is this final level I'm opening the bridge to right now. So I don't know if you guys have it already, but now there's a rainbow I can run over and...
The Rainbow Road?
Yes, and then into the boss rush. And now, the beauty of a game, this was great fun to play. Spent far too many hours, and I was playing this on the Evercade Alpha, because this is the perfect game to play on that little arcade machine. Mm.
Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah, I can imagine it plays well on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, this does feature on the front cover.
Yes.
So, can we move
on to the next one.
Mm.
So what have we got?
By the way, MDK Jew, just a final word on that, says he didn't think that there looked to be enough going on, enough to be going on screen at once for it to work as two players. Yeah, maybe. I would like to experience it as a two-player game, because I think it'd be cool to see what it's like. But I take his point. There needs to be enough to do.
Yeah.
Anyway, Karate Champ.
Yeah.
Karate Champ. So single. This you have A button for attack left, B button for attack right, and then all of the directionals you can do with your D-pad, and then you need to figure out what's going on, and that's quite hard to figure out what's going on here.
Yeah,
it's very difficult. Christian, I'm interested to see actually, Mads, because I kept doing a certain thing playing this, and I want to see if you do exactly the same. I'm not going to say it.
If it's loose, then I will do the same thing.
I'll read the blurb.
Oh, that were featured. That definitely featured. I'm thinking more around the way the character moves. But this was a twin stick game in the arcade.
It was. All right. Karate Champ, your karate championship is at stake. Can you master all the lunges, kicks, spins, somersaults, foot sweeps, reverse punches, and defensive blocks needed to retain your title? Move fast and play smart, or you'll get flattened before you even start. Compete against a friend or challenge the computer. 9 different picturesque settings plus 3 challenging bonus screens provide the backdrops for your matches. Perform moves by combining button presses with the directional pad. Try pressing both buttons at the same time to release even more moves. For example, if you want to sweep the leg, try pressing down +1 of the buttons. Want to experiment? Choose the two-player mode and try your moves on a stationary target. Right. Put in the practice and you'll be a champ. No time.
I should have read this before I played it myself, because that was actually a good idea. I just started in two-player mode.
Yeah. The original coin-oppers, I think, as Chris just said, there was a twin stick. 24 possible moves. Hugely influential coin-op. And I think definitely a game that rewards practice. It's not the most accessible game, is it, Jim?
It's not. But I didn't play the arcade version, but I can imagine it working really well on a twin stick.
Yeah.
Or certainly a lot better than on two buttons. I can imagine it playing far better on a twin stick. I'll put it that way.
Guys, once I get turned around, how do I move? How do I turn around again? Sometimes when I'm fighting,
That's what I wanted to see. Because I did that. You turn around and then you can't get back the other way.
You have to
attack in that direction while pressing.
But I'm trying to do that.
In the opposite direction?
Yeah.
So basically, we do like a sort of semi roundhouse kind of thing. So, this is a way of exploding fists, isn't it? I mean, it's got to be said. I think it has a lot of lineage between that and this game, the fact that it's all about points. You're not trying to hurt the other opponent, you're actually trying to strike them in the most strategic place, and then you get a point. So it's all about points, and there's a man on the dancing up on a little shelf, giving just
the shelf.
He's just dancing up and going left and right, pacing left and right, and then doing a little action going, you got a roundhouse kick, that's 3 points or whatever. And I found it oddly strategic,
and
practical, and very, very dry.
Yeah.
I imagine it's a game. Yeah, I imagine it's one that if you put the time in and you practice and you figure out the moves, probably becomes a game. Oh, look at those celebration dances, and great though, is it? He looks like a seal.
It's a nice little animation.
He does look like a seal. Yeah. Not many frames there.
Yeah.
Really.
So, but it doesn't look great, does it? I mean, look at the state of that. I mean, I don't think it's.
I mean,
a good
this is early though, Chris. This is early, and this is like one of, if not the first, I think, like one-on-one fighter.
What?
It's before Way of the Exploding Fist, I think.
I think NES games could look better than that, though, mate. The arcade game doesn't look like that. The arcade game looks better than that.
Do you get to punch a bull in the face?
There was once I won the round there. There was something that flying, and I just walked straight into it. So I think there was something I was supposed to kick there, but it didn't.
You meant punching those, yeah.
I will freely admit that was the first time I ever actually won a round. I hadn't seen that before.
This
is a game that intrigues me. Like, I don't want to say that I would never say that this is a bad game, because I'm sure it's not. I'm not qualified to say that. All I would say is that I didn't play this for very long because I didn't enjoy playing it. And that's probably just because I didn't put the time in to really get anything out of it. And I feel like it's a game that you probably need to put the time in.
Also, it doesn't feel it's particularly finished.
It's a bit sloppy.
It looks like it's a proof of concept. And the way when you fall down, you suddenly your whole sprite moves down.
Exactly that. What's
that about? It's just all the flickering and it's just the movement of the feet don't match the movement of the... It's just... It looks like they were like, this will do, isn't it? No?
Yeah, it's a bit weird, isn't it? Because one thing that you can say about these other Data East games, like them or not, they're very polished. Aren't they? The ones that we've looked at already, there's a lot of polish there. Ben and Rubber, very polished. Even Bad Dudes in its own weird little way, quite polished. This, though, just seems a bit crummy.
I think the thing that broke it for me, it felt like at times you're hitting, so it works like a normal karate match, doesn't it, where you score points for hits. But it feels like there's times you land a hit and your kick or your punch just goes straight through the player and it doesn't land.
And I don't really understand what registers and what doesn't, because as you can see, anyone watching the video here will see that it looks like Mads are scoring loads of hits and there's no sense of connection. Is that there's no not the best, I don't think.
But I'm actually getting the hang of it, Brack, that way, but just beat the guy twice.
You keep punching him in the stomach. It's quite interesting. I've got to hate the celebration.
What is that? What is that? That's just knocked you out.
You're not supposed to get them in the head, of course.
So. Now you're out some dirty alley. What's this about? What's going on?
You have to save state this match. You might finish it. You still can't turn around, though, can you?
No, but I figured out how to jump
both. He's the game's master, isn't he?
Front and back right now. So.
So when you get in front the wrong way, you just jump back.
Yes, that's what I do.
Anyway.
Oh. Yeah, on to the next one, right?
You're going to save state it?
Not the best.
No.
Probably the cover won't. Is very
But it did lead to
Fighters well.
History. So there we go.
Yeah, okay.
Did it? There we go.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Magical Drop 2.
In a way.
Anime cuteness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jimbo?
Yeah.
Shall we go for a bit of manual spiel?
Yes.
A manual action.
All right. About the game, then. Awesome. Like Tetris, but with coloured bubbles and coming from the bottom up, Magical Drop 2 is a charming, if somewhat familiar game that does enough on its own to set it apart from a crowded field. Charming together colours and creating combos is the order of the day. Chaining together colours, though you also have to manage screen real estate unless you fall victim to an encroaching tide of coloured balloons. Like everything, practice makes perfect. The more you play the game, the more complex your chains and combos will become. So think kind of a cross between Tetris and something like Columns, maybe.
Buster Move or Puzzle Bobble, really, isn't it?
Buster Move. Sort of Columns and Buster Move. That's a good comparison, yeah.
Yeah, the game originated on the Neo Geo. This is the Super Nintendo port. What do you make of it, Chris?
I'm quite drawn to these kinds of games. I find them to be really fascinating, but very transparent in their systems, which I like. You know, when I see a system that's really open and transparent, saying this is what I am, figure it out, I'm just get drawn to it. And this one's, you know, as a fan of Buster Move and those, I'm terrible at them. I can't really chain as much as I want. When I
that's my problem
off,
with it as well.
When I pull it off, it's like, I am a genius. But it's a very rare thing because I'm very reactive. And the amount of times I go, I shouldn't have pulled that blue from there, should I? Shouldn't have done that. Because you get greedy.
Yeah.
You know, you think, you latch onto the one and think, I'm going to Thunder's going to drop on that. And yeah, it's all about strategery and tactical play. It's always been that way with these games.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very manic game.
Yeah,
I think that's what it's going for. It's got that, you know, it's got that competitive edge, even in story mode, as Madge is showing off here. Yeah. You know, you're facing off against somebody, and you've got to fill up their screen before they fill up yours. And usual thing, the more you can chain, the more you throw things over on their side. I'm not brilliant at these games.
Expertly and... done, Mads. Expertly done.
Yeah, very impressive.
One.
When I play them, I want it to feel relaxed. When I play a puzzle game, like something like Lumines, you know, whilst that gets challenging, I almost want it to kind of relax me first and then slowly build up the challenge. Whereas this just goes from 0 to 100 straight away. You don't get any time just to kind of sink into the stages. Even on endless mode, you've got to be right on it right from the start. And that kind of put me off a little bit.
Mm.
What did you make of it, Jim?
Yeah, I really like this. Once I'd sort of got to grips with it, I really, really enjoyed it. Found it really playable. I love these sort of cute anime games. I don't know what it is. This is something we're playing Parodius Da over on the High School channel at the moment. And yeah, games like that, they just Twin B. They just, I don't know what it is with the art style. I don't know. They just, yeah, I'm just drawn to them. I really like this. You see, Mads, you've got. Oh, go on, Chris.
I was just going to say, it hides, though, underneath its cute exterior, like a lot of these games. It's a pretty devilish little puzzle game. It's not easy.
It is, yeah.
And it hides it underneath this cute exterior, I think.
Yeah. Interesting. Oh, God,
And like you said, it the difficulty ramps up really quickly.
Yeah, it sure
but
does.
You can alter. There is a difficulty level in there, so you can dial it down a little bit, and you can make it a little bit more playable until you sort of to the standard that you can take on the next difficulty level.
Yeah,
I love the little story mode. No idea what's going on with it, but.
My issue, like Chris, is that I can never get the chains, and if I do, it feels like I'm doing it by accident. And I think that's where it probably you get a lot of value is when you start to like strategically plan the chains and design your boards so that right, I'm set it all up. Now I'm going to kind of trigger the chain. I imagine it's so satisfying, but I'm just not that good at it.
And again, that's something. You just take for granted in something like Tetris because of the simplicity, and it's just so obvious what you have to do. Whereas in this, there are sort of more mechanics sort of playing, and so you do have to put a little bit more time in to learn those.
You're just good at these games, though. Remember, you absolutely battered me at Tetris when we played that when you were down mine, didn't you?
I think some of that's just practice, though, isn't it?
I think you have got one. You're one of those people that are just good at these games, though, I think. Bit annoying, really. What did you make of it, Mads?
I'm a huge fan of Buster Move or Puzzle Bubble, and I've had those like Buster Move 1 or Puzzle Bubble 1, 2, 3, 4. I had the arcade boards for those, but I find this is lacking for me. If you compare it to those, because this game is great fun in multiplayer. In two-player, it's a frantic fun game, but playing it single-player is kind of boring to me, really. It's very hard with these kind of games to do proper multiplayer, but no, single-player, but try something like, I'd say, even the first Puzzle Bubble, but especially the fourth one. They've kind of designed the different levels so that they are puzzles more than they're frantic games like this. You'd like it, Chris, because the first 10-15 levels of Puzzle Bubble 4, there is one right way of doing those. And if you do it just right and get the right angle in, you can do them in like 2-3 bubbles. So that's very, very satisfying to play those games.
Yeah.
This is great fun in two players. If you have a friend coming over, put this on. In single player, I get a bit bored. I just want to play Puzzle Bubble instead.
Yeah.
I think I just prefer my puzzle games a little bit slow paced.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing with it, is it's really frantic. I mean, it comes at you from the outset, like, go on, off you pop, go, like, what are the rules? You'll figure them out, just go.
And it is hard.
But did you know, Mads, you can pull the bubble chains by pressing A rather than single bubbles as well?
Yeah, I know.
So that helps you setting up.
Yeah, for sure.
Jim's just marvelling at your incompetence there, Mads.
Yep. I'm not very good at this.
You're doing all right. The story mode's a bit of a misnomer, isn't it? There's not much story going on, as you said earlier, Jim.
No.
I'm playing the devil right now.
So. It looks that way as well. Yeah, she's kicked your ass already once.
Yep.
There we go.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
No, it's a good game for a two-player game. I've had lots of great fun playing these kind of games in two-player, but as a single-player game, it just doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah, it feels like a bit of a filler one for the cartridge. It's not a bad game to have on the cartridge.
Yeah, it's not a bad game.
It's not one I returned to, oddly. Although I liked it, it's not one I kept on coming back to on it. So.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah,
I think I will. I'll come back to this one. It's one of those I can just switch off and just sit. I kind of find it relaxing
in
a weird way.
I don't find that particular one relaxing at all.
Oh, God, no. I don't find it relaxing,
All it is... every extend extra, that's a game I find relaxing, but not that one.
Yeah, I love that one.
look it up if you're not familiar with it. It's a bonkers game.
Yeah, Nintendo DS. Mm.
Yeah. Mm.
So, the next one.
Midnight Resistance.
The beauty of a game from 91.
I'll do the blurb.
Okay.
Much celebrated.
Yes.
You're the tougher soldier in the Resistance. That's why the evil heads snatched your family. You're outnumbered, but not outsmarted. You and a three-barrel machine gun are going to even the score. Bash into Evil Head's compound, battling tanks, missiles, and flying robots in skull-to-skull combat. It's very metal. Crawl through bullet-filled corridors, stomp through flak-laden forests, swing down ladders, and dive off ledges to ambush the evil army. The enemy hammers you with heavy artillery, rapid-fire lasers, and slashing saw blades. You pound them with flamethrowers, nitro bombs, and machine guns. Christ. The head's forces are vicious and armed to the brim. Blast through 7 levels of explosive action. Nothing can stop your rage. Collect the keys dropped by enemies as you mow them down. Between levels, you'll have a chance to use those keys to access some extra firepower. Make sure that you don't blow them all on weaponry, however. You never know when you might need them for other purposes. Midnight Resistance, the high score game for the month.
Great game and a great version.
It was.
I haven't actually had much time with it this month, but I used to be able to get to the final boss.
What, on this version or the arcade version?
On this version. This is the version I played the most.
Yeah, this is a beauty, Jim. You enjoyed this one, I think.
I did, mate. Yeah, really, really good. Run and gun this. Really enjoyed it. Really. I didn't get anywhere near as far as some of the people on the high score. Incredible music.
Those
guitar twangs, it just screams like that Yamaha sound chip, and it just suits it to the bone. Oh, it's incredible.
It's MDK Jew on Twitch has also commented on the soundtrack. The music is really, really good.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it, Chris?
Yeah, I did, although I think the comment was more about Magic Control.
Oh, if it was, I beg
his pardon. He's right about his music. We did mention that. It's good too. What I love about this game is how, you know, if there's an enemy on the screen, you're probably playing it wrong. You know, you have to be shooting at all times, spraying everywhere. Because if you don't, if there's more than one enemy on the screen, you're probably messed up somewhere.
Yeah.
Because you're going to die. It does reward you so much when you get into it, and I can see why there's so much affection in our Resistance. Like, so it's just so satisfying. You are monstrously powerful, and you just keep going and going. And it reminds me a little bit of Metal Slug, but Metal Slug has always been a slog. Really. It's so difficult to see. It looked beautiful.
Yeah.
But I've always found sometimes like, where am I? Oh God, what's going on? But like I said, I do love the older Metal Slug games, but this seems like a progeny to it or an embryonic, because it's very similar in gameplay sort of styling.
Contra for me.
Yeah, it's definitely. I mean, if someone said to you, give me a classic example of a run and gun game. I mean, although most people would say Contra, this is one that you would say, if you want to know what people mean when they say run and gun, it's this. Yeah. Because as you said, Chris, if you're not running and you're not gunning at any one time, you're probably dead.
Yeah.
For me, it lacks the. I think Metal Slug is a bit slow, more so paced. It's probably slightly more cerebral in the way that you have to approach it. Whereas this is just really, I mean, you just need to make sure that you're firing in as many directions as you can. It's got some really cool set pieces in though, like this, you know, which just kind of paces the gameplay nicely.
You need to be shooting them cogs for the score, Matt. Mads.
You can milk some score there, can't you? The upgrade thing is a nice little bit of depth as well, collecting the keys, and obviously you lose some keys when you die. I mean, that gives the game a little bit of a bit of depth. I mean, there are different ways to go through it with different weapons. I mean, it's really, really good fun to play. It's very learnable. Do you know what I mean? It's the kind of game that you'll get to a new level.
I know. That's it. Now I've got it. You need to lock your fire for this part. You need to lock the fire at firing upwards, otherwise you'll die. And I couldn't really get that done. There we go.
The
controls. I mean, this was a twin stick shooter in the arcades. The controls are a bit special here. There's one button for just starting firing. Start fire, and there's one button you can hold down to hold it in the right direction, otherwise he'll just point the gun in the direction you're moving. But if you hold down one of the buttons, he'll lock it to one direction, so I can for example move backwards while shooting forwards here, and that works beautifully for this twin stick shooter, no, rotary stick, sorry, shooter actually.
Yeah.
I've never played the arcade version.
Yeah, so I think you have to, the controls. Yeah, I think the controls do take a little bit of getting used to, but they do feel good once you get used to them. This next level that's coming up now with the lifts, I think that's kind of the breaking point. It certainly was for me. That seems to be once you get past that, that's the scores sort of ramp up.
Don't you find though, Jim, that you get to it, like all of these games, you get to a new level, it feels impossible to begin with.
Yes.
And then you learn it.
Then you get the enemy pattern.
Yeah. And that to me is the sign of a good run and gun game. You know, it should feel very difficult at first.
Oh, I always thought that.
this is what caught me out. I think the detection on the lifts, you seem to fall, unless you're right over the drive, you're going to fall off. Yeah.
So do you want to read out those scores, Jim?
But, I can do, mate. Yeah, I will go through the scores. So this was December's high score game. 16 players, which was a great number. Last but not least. It was this version, the arcade version. So the Mega Drive version, yeah. We did say you could either play the game on the arcade or you could play the Mega Drive ROM or cart if you've got it. So John V with 3,400. S Flug, 32,500. Reese Wynn, 47,300. Muppets 4, 55,500. Mads.
I only got to play it once, actually.
If you'd have played like this, you'd have battered this score. 83,300. Chris, 85,100.
Hang on, did I beat Matt? The games Matt are there. Yes.
You did, mate, you did. And then I beat you both. It was me, 1,100. Monster Hyde, Rich, was 114,000. Chris Atwill, 155,300. Gas Tower 69, 245,400. Doc Hauser, 249,500. We're getting into the scores here. Top five. So fifth was Paul, 303,600. Donny, Heavy Metal Don, 313,300. And now we're into the mega scores. What John Shep, who he finished, obviously these, yeah, I'm guessing all three.
This was his game.
This was John Shep's game. Mm. He mastered this. In third place, though, he didn't get the highest score, although I'm sure he probably might have. He could have if he'd maybe gone for it a bit more, I don't know. 1,548,600. Plastic Man, 1,570,500. And then Jamie Jazz 80, clearly on the jazz, as the Hannibal used to say. 1,588,800 points. My word, well done, Jamie Jazz.
He's good at games, though, Jamie Jazz, isn't he? Remember we played Metal Slug Mads and it was him and Andy Gilmore right at the top of the scoreboard.
Going toe-to-toe, yes, yeah, yes.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
He's good at games, that Jamie Jazz.
Yes, for sure.
This was his bag.
This is a great game. It was a good choice for the high school challenge, mate. It's
perfect.
Good fun game. I'm so sad I didn't have more time to play it, but yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Good game, and definitely a highlight on the cart, definitely.
Yeah, one of my favorites for sure. Yeah. But there's so many good games on this card, actually. Yeah. So.
Again, rightly on the front cover. There you go.
Mm. So
Chris's turn for the blurb.
Mm.
Okay. There we go.
Okay, here we go. Side Pocket. This is the game we talk about now. Your motto is simple, rack 'em and roll 'em. But you don't want to be just another two-bit shark. You want to be a true master of the game. To use your wits and skills to dominate your opponents. You want victory so bad you can taste it. With each city, the stakes get higher, the shots get tougher, and the challenge is more difficult. Los Angeles, New York, and then Atlantic City. There's no time to see the sights. You'll have to concentrate on your game if you want to claim a world-class title. Do you have what it takes to become the champion?
It's a pool game. The answer is no. I'm not very good at this.
No.
I love this game. I'm a huge Q Sports fan. I love pool and snooker.
Snooker loopy, eh? Here we go.
I am snooker loopy, absolutely. And if anybody likes the film Colour of Money, they will recognise some of the portraits here, because not in the arcade, in the arcade version, those portraits weren't there, but in this, the portraits are based on characters from the Colour of Money movie. It's got a really cool kind of jazzy vibe to it as well. The music is by George Sanger.
That little jazz funk, oh, it's perfect. It just suits the game perfectly.
It really does. Yeah.
It's got such a great move. Physics wise, it's a bit arcadey, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not, you know, Jimmy White's well big snooker, is it?
No, God, yeah, did you miss that, Matt?
I don't know.
No.
Jesus.
I forget, oh, there's a key, there's a button you can press to.
I think it's X will give you your.
Put
your number ups.
It gives you
and
numbers,
then if
and
you
while
pop them in order,
it,
you'll get a big score bonus at the end.
Yeah, but that's not the important part. The important part is that you can pick where on the white cue you want to hit.
So that's right.
If you draw it back, or you can have it follow, or and there's different. This actually becomes very important later on.
Very, very important.
Yeah, and the physics are all over the place. I mean, it doesn't.
Yeah.
They don't correlate at all with what should happen.
No, true.
No.
It took me a little while to get used to what I needed to do. So that score counter in the top left there is counted down.
Yeah.
Or you trick shot mads.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was totally on purpose.
Yeah, totally.
So that counts down, and basically you've got a finite number of shots, and every time you don't pot a ball, that counter goes down. And basically once it ticks down to zero, it's game over. So you've got about 16 misses throughout the whole game.
It's not pool. It's not, you know, you don't have, like, well, What a shot. You don't have, you know, stripes and dots. You just got a set of balls you've got to knock out. At least that's the... At least there's many modes of this game. It's got to be clear. This is the mode we're looking at the moment here is the basic mode.
Yeah.
But there's other modes, like there's trick shots and standard shot nine ball play and stuff. But my concern about this game is the board or the base seems to be really slow.
Yeah, it's weird.
A lot of the ball, they don't really move much. In fact, they don't move like a pool table would.
No.
Pool tables are tiny compared to snooker pool tables. So I think they're half the size almost. So you want them to ping around the board. I mean, that's the point of the pool, is to very much pass the game. But this really quite, my criticism really against it is how bloody sedate it is, because the beige, if you like, is so slow. It's so tactile.
And when you break off, the white gets stuck in the balls all the time. Like, you can't smash the balls open.
I mean, it's not in its defense. It's clear it's not shooting for an accuracy, is it? It's not a simulated game of pool, that's for sure.
Go on, Jim.
I was just going to say, you can get shots back as well. So if Mads ever pots this ball, you'll go into like a little bonus.
That's right.
Like a little bonus level, and you'll get some shots back to carry into the next round.
Yeah, although I could never do those bonus levels.
How do you do it? It feels like a little bit sometimes. It feels like there's no room for error in that in where you hit the cue ball. There's no room for error at all.
Yeah. Yeah, Mads has finally potted that final ball, you've got to achieve a certain score to progress to the next level.
I probably did.
Well, you did, but I think probably by luck you did pot some. Get rid of the sequence there.
Yeah,
so
yeah, you've got a sequence there.
What do you mean?
So I think you may well have. So here's the bonus sequence. Yeah.
See, it is.
So my main problem with this game is actually I find that this is too finicky. I mean,
you've got to use the shoulder buttons to move it,
and you'll do a little click. That's
Again, I should have read the manual, because
that'll change your life. That
I didn't know about the shoulder buttons. That really changes things.
Yeah, really important. Yeah. That, because you never actually get the refined shots you need.
True.
There you go.
But it's an enjoyable little
game. And now
game,
you get a couple of shots back. Look. Yeah. You get a couple of shots back now, so you've got 11 shots to get through the next table.
Okay. Yeah. It's got a really cool kind of smoky, jazzy vibe to it, which is the way, you know, the way
it has.
Cool.
I liked it.
Yeah, it's very good. I couldn't get past stage 3, though, by the time I got to stage 3. But look where the balls are. They're too close to the bottom cushion.
Yeah.
You
hit them and nothing happens.
Look, exactly.
Yeah. Just like, oh, we got one in. Nice.
And now what's going to happen? You can't smash them open. It's really weird. And actually, if the ball physics were better, I think this would be a really, really good game.
Yeah.
But it does put you off. Mads is so lucky, isn't he? Did you see that?
Yeah, mate. See that, yeah.
He is, isn't he?
There's a Super Bowl. If you pop this one, he gets super thing. Get a little cake.
There we go.
I still spent a long time playing it, even if it's not the most faithful rendition of the beautiful game.
No.
It's not, but it's a fun little game to play.
I like the magic little pockets.
A few minutes aside.
The bonus pockets.
Oh, my word, Mads.
Do it again.
I'm doing really, really well.
Yeah, I'd do the lottery if I was you at the weekend.
Yeah.
You're on fire with these fluke shots. Another one? No.
Sure. No. No. This is a good game.
You can imagine him running around the table like he's playing Big Break.
This is a good game for the handheld, isn't it? I mean, this is great for when you're on the road. Nice and relaxing, as you said, Chris. A nice and relaxing game, this one.
Yeah, it's got a two-player mode as well, which I think it's essential for a game like this, I think. I enjoyed it because I enjoy pool games. I'm pleasantly surprised that you guys seem to have played it as much as you did. I thought this would be one that you'd skip.
I like these kind of games. I think it rewards skill so well. and practice. That's what I like about it. When you encounter games that are just brutally unfair, and then I bounce off them really hard. But this one, you can tell once you get into its quirks and the issues of physics, which is, as Chris says, it's not there. Once you get over that and understand what you can get away with, it's quite a thing, as Mads is demonstrating here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It is.
The pervy side in me wishes they'd put Pocket Gal on instead of Side Pocket, but there
we are. Yeah, it was a bit weird, wasn't it? They kind of infused that, like Sam Fox and Poker. And...
Hell.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. That's you get a little naughty pick.
Yeah, it's a bit weird. Yeah. A really good game, though, is its true sequel, Minnesota Fats Pool Legend.
Okay.
Which was a 1995 game, also by Data East. It's, I wonder if it's actually on the, might be on the Data East collection too, I don't know.
Look at this challenge. Have a look, guys.
Yeah, God, yeah.
How on earth am I going to do this?
Pretty much like you're doing now.
Yeah.
Got to use those shoulder buttons though, Mads.
Yeah.
That's really good. Minnesota Fats Pool Legend is really good, and it's got an absolute banging soundtrack. You hit the glass.
Yeah, I've not played that one. I'll have a look at that.
Well worth it.
Nice.
Final game.
Final game. And this was yet another good one. How many good games are there on this cartridge? It's crazy.
Oh, I don't know about that. I wasn't a fan of this one.
I was talking about Side Pocket Mate, but I do love Two Crude Dudes as well.
Oh, no, yeah, this one. Sorry, I thought you meant the next game.
Yep. What? Next game, Two Crude Dudes.
Yeah.
Jimbo, manual action.
Should we go? Yeah, let's go for it. Mm. A comic book inspired brawler that sports bright pixel graphics and compelling gameplay. Two Crude Dudes has detailed graphics, a huge sprites that clobber their enemies in comically brutal ways. If you enjoy brawlers but want something a little less earnest, Two Crude Dudes lives up to its tongue-in-cheek name. And I will say, I think I was, having spoken with Mads, I think I was playing this game wrong.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I didn't realise you could pick up so much of the scenery.
And that's the whole thing with this game.
And
it's not just a brawler. You're supposed to use, cars that you go past, signs, anything. You can pick up pretty much everything and just throw it at your enemies. And that's how you're supposed to dispatch them.
Yeah,
I don't think I really got that either.
But then it's no wonder that you didn't like it.
What were you doing, Jim, then? Were you just trying to play? I was trying to play it like Bad Dudes.
No. This is a completely different...
Like a beat-em-up. Yeah,
If you do that, it's very, very boring. But you can pick up everything and throw it at your enemies.
Yeah.
Like, everything.
Oh, but can't you, you can pick up the enemies yourself?
Yeah, you can pick up the enemies and throw them at the enemies as well, which is good fun.
So did you play this back in the day, Max?
Yes, in the arcade. I loved it.
This is the Genesis version, right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, look at this. I can pick up this car, for example, and just throw it at the guy.
I was
getting it wrong.
And you can pick up everything, and it's so good fun.
Mindless fun. And I knew it from the outset. It doesn't pull any punches. Pun!
Yeah, nice. See what you did.
The fact that you can actually just lift up large parts of the level and just level people with the large piece of level that you're doing. Yeah, it's just very, very silly game. Mm. Remarkable achievement that they pulled it off, really, but it doesn't pull any punches, really. It just says, I said it already, but it doesn't hold back on its stupidity. He's like, yeah, this is a dumb game. It doesn't matter. What's going on there? I love picking up the people and just making complete merry hell out by just picking them up when they think they. But is it fun? I don't know. It's not for me. It's not my kind of thing.
I really didn't.
I think I'm having more fun watching Mads play than I actually have playing it, to be
honest. I completely agree. I just didn't get this one. This got really well received back in the day. Julian Rignall. When Julian Rignall reviewed this for CVG, called it the best beat-em-up that's ever been released.
Yeah. See, I'd almost agree. I love this. I love that you can pick up everything. And I remember loving it in the arcade. It's just so crazy. You could pick up cars and these huge signs and picking up even the boss enemies. You can pick them up and throw them as well. I mean, it's good fun. For me, this is a great world.
And I assume it's similar, you know, you just go through the levels, you get to the end of the level, you fight a boss. I mean, I didn't spend that much time playing this at all.
Yeah,
that's it. And then you move on to the next, each level has its own theme.
I did get this far. Yeah. I did beat him, I got to level two.
The sort of cannon fodder enemies are all very repetitive, aren't they? It's sort of colour sprite changes. Different enemies, but they all... Yeah, I suppose, but I don't know, like, you look at something like Streets of Rage or Final Fight, I remember them being a lot, quite varied. You do see the same characters, but there's a bit more variation in it. But I will say the bosses are really good in this. The boss fights that I saw were really fun. Tough, but fun.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't have a sense of atmosphere like... Streets of Rage has that real, especially Streets of Rage 2, has that real sense of coolness and style, doesn't it? Whereas for me, just didn't do it for me, this.
You're a cola machine rather than a car.
That's it. And don't forget to drink them, and then you get your points, but you get your health back.
That's one very robust cola machine. But you enjoy this, Mads.
Yeah, I do. Maybe it's just the nostalgia, because I played this a lot of the arcade back in the day, and I remember really loving it because of the wacky thing with just, you know, pick up everything and throwing it. It just worked for me. It was good fun.
Yeah.
Were you a little bit surprised?
And I suppose that's what sets it apart, isn't it?
Are we a little bit surprised that they put Bad Dudes and the sequel on the cart? Did we need both?
You're calling this the sequel to Bad Dudes?
It is the sequel to Bad Dudes.
Is it? I didn't know. Bad Dudes, no. Mm. I don't know. I like both of them, so, and I really enjoy this one, so you guys should give it a chance.
I think my problem was I spent quite a lot of time playing Bad Dudes, even though it's not the best game in the world. I would actually say I probably prefer to play that.
Okay.
But maybe by the time I got to this, I was just a little bit fatigued with this kind of lefty righty.
But I do think it's a very different game, though, because of this bombastic throwing bits of bloody concrete at people.
Look at these fellas.
Yeah, they're certainly making an impression.
They're quite something, aren't they, with their mankinis?
Yep.
Apparently, in two-player mode, you can throw each other, which has got to be quite fun.
What do you do when it's...
You almost feel like they might have been better putting, like, the NES version of, like, Karnov on instead putting this on or something like that, yeah.
Something a bit different.
It was, isn't it?
Karnov was a Data East game.
Say that again, Chris.
Yeah,
it was a Data East game.
Otherwise, it would have just made it.
Karnov is the boss, the stage one boss in Bad Dudes as well. He makes a guest appearance. He's a chiv. Eagle-eyed people on the stream would have seen Mads beating him earlier.
Yeah.
There we go then.
Yeah. That's all the games. So what do we have? We have Bad Dudes, Burger Time, Burn and Rubber, Fighters History, Joe and Mac 2, Lost in the Tropics, Karate Champ, Magical Drop 2, Midnight Resistance, Side Pocket, and Two Crude Dudes. So for my money, there's like there's a few I won't play anymore, but there's like five or six really, really good games on here. So
what's your favorite?
It's probably Joan Mac, because I just spent so much time playing that on the Evercade Alpha and had a lot of fun. So I will go back to that. That is going on my list of completed games this year. I need to figure out how to beat that final boss. And yes, I am playing it with save states, because I have a life and obligations and stuff like that. So,
well, also, you've got an Evercade, so why not?
Yeah, for sure. And this was the game that taught me that the Evercade save states actually are saved on the cartridge. Yeah. I didn't know. that's a beauty.
Yeah.
I played it on the alpha, and then I went to the cartridge and thought, I'm just going to start over. But then I saw there were some save states, so loaded the save state on my handheld, and well, hey presto, there it was.
Yeah, that's cool, eh? Yeah, nice feature. Jim, have you got a favourite?
Where are you, Chris? Oh, go on. Yeah, I've spoke on like the Discord and stuff, and how playing these Evercade arcade ports has kind of given me my love back a little bit for the arcade port, and so I would probably go and play something like Bump and Jump. I'd probably pick that one as one of my favourites.
Yeah,
I think I'd rather play the NES version over the arcade version, just for those little sort of almost quality of life improvements almost.
Yeah, I can see that. What about you, Chris?
Out of all of them, my favourite is a bit of a surprise, really. Maybe because it wouldn't load because of my original copy. But Fighter's History really was the one I keep on finding myself playing over and over, which is very surprising for me because normally I'll go for something like, I would normally go for, you know, Burger Time because I'm familiar with it, but it's not a port I prefer, like the original arcade. I'd be drawn towards, you know, Burning Rubber. I think that game is just, I love the vertical scrolling driving games. I've always found them intriguing. But there's one on the MSX, I can't remember what it's called now, Road Fighter, something like that, I think it's called. It's not Road Blasters. It's an MSX game from Konami. I'll try and remember it. But for me, Fighter's History is a surprise delight, a little treat there, and I'm going to definitely play more of it. So, and I think overall, this is one of the best Evercade cartridges so far featured. I think I really do. I think it's got
more hits than misses, definitely.
Many more hits than misses. They definitely, on the third one, they certainly nailed it. But happy I own it. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah. Yeah, do you know what? I think I'm going to agree with you. I think I really enjoyed Joe and Mac. And I'd probably say that is, if I could only choose one game to play from this, it probably would be that one. Although I really enjoy Side Pocket, despite its wonkiness. But, you know, for pure surprise factor, I have a very large soft spot for Fighter's History, just because there was not a part of me that expected to like it at all. So the fact that I spent a very happy couple of hours with it, and then again fired it back up the next day, I really didn't expect to like it at all. You know, I don't think I've ever played, well, I know I've never played Street Fighter 2 for that long concurrently. So I was super surprised by that. And actually, it makes me think maybe I ought to spend a little bit more time with the granddaddy of them all itself and get a little bit better at it.
Why'd you do that when we found the better version here?
Well, this is it. But no, really good cart, and certainly my favourite so far of the three that we've covered.
Yeah.
I think there is of these 10 games, I would say kind of 8 of them are games that I would happily fire up. So that's a pretty good ratio for me.
Yeah. Nice. Great card. Definitely nice. My favorite for sure for so far. But I think my favorite card right now only has two games, but that's because I bought the one with the Witch and Wiz and Good Boy Galaxy. Those are some good games.
They are
beauties.
What number's that one?
I forget actually. It's quite high.
It's one of like
high 20s, maybe early 30s.
Yeah, the most recent one was 42, Metal Dragon and Life on Mars. But the first one that they did like that, Mads, was 27. They had Alwa's Awakening and Cathedral. They're two really good games.
Yeah.
They're so good. We actually interviewed the developers for Alwa's Awakening.
Okay. Yes, I remember
the Sausage
that.
Sausage Factory.
So. Yeah.
Lovely people. Really. Love their retro stuff. But Yeah, also a bit of a heads up with the topical, but price of cards is going up.
Yes.
In 2025.
It is, yes. Standard carts are up to $19.99 as of the end of January, I believe.
So that's a fiver.
People listening to this in the future are nodding sagely, going, yeah, sorry. But it's a remarkable deal. They really do. I mean, when they first came out, I wasn't entirely convinced by them, but then they sold me on the care and curation of the games that they're putting on the cards.
I'm sure I'm on record for saying that this is a nice idea, but definitely not something for me. And boy, was I wrong. I'm loving this little ecosystem. And I mean, I'm playing these days. My Evocates are getting more used than the Mister, because I have the handheld, I have the VS connected to the TV, and I have the little arcade machine. So
I'm very tempted by the Alpha. Very tempted, but...
Today they released the trailers for Indie Heroes 4, which has got obviously indie games on there, but there's some sort of pretty big hitters on there. Murtop, that's, you go on the Switch eShop, and I think that's like a £5 or £6 game. Flea 2, which on the Dreamcast, if you want the physical version for that, then you sort of £20. So, you know, you're getting all these games on a physical cart for £20, still not a bad deal.
I completely agree.
In my opinion.
People are going to say it's a 33% increase in price, which of course it is. That's a lot in terms of percentage terms, but I still think £20 is good value, you know, for any of these cards.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
But that's just my opinion. Yeah. Particularly, you know, the later ones. I think their curation has got better with these, with these collections as they've gone on. I mean, I think, you know, if you think back to the original Atari one that we looked at last year, Mads, that felt a little bit like just pack them in, didn't it?
Yeah.
Whereas that, it does feel more curated. Even by the time you get to these, you know, cards, it feels a little more curated.
So what's up next, Chris?
So next up we have, I've just had it. Here it is. Interplay.
It's the Interplay. Yeah.
Interplay 1, cartridge 4. So on that cartridge, there are six games, only six. Two NES games, Battle Chess, one of my all-time faves on the Amiga.
Yeah.
A puzzle game called Titan that I know nothing about. Mm. Three Super Nintendo games. Clay Fighter, you'll love that, Mads. Incantation, one of the last commercially released games for the Super Nintendo. And it looks very pretty. Boogerman and Earthworm Jim the Genesis. Nice. The Genesis version, or Mega Drive.
I guess they couldn't peg in the Sega CD
version.
Stunning,
but difficult.
Also, I've noticed that the versions they have of the consoles is definitely NTSC.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it seems that way.
Could be.
Looks like the NTSC versions are running. Because, I don't think they can't do a PlayStation Classic, can they, on the games?
Giving us the 50Hz versions.
Yeah. Mm.
I'm looking forward to trying Earthworm Jim with save states, because that game is so difficult.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looks fantastic, but dear God.
Yeah, it's so hard.
I really like it, but you're right. Save states is probably needed to make it fun.
I think so.
Mm. And we'll be back again we're back in other podcasts, of course. Do stick around on the Retro Asylum feed, and something will randomly drop. Oh, much like Magical Drop, maybe not two. And we'll be back again with another Evocator cartridge. God help us when we get to number 10. That's all I'm going to say. Because no one can find it. It's impossible to find. It's currently sells for £90 a pop. So difficult to. If you've got it already, good on you.
We've got contacts.
You know people who know people who know people.
Exactly. So.
I know a guy who knows a guy.
We'll figure it out.
Any shout-outs, guys, before we sign off?
So I'd like to shout out Martin or Deadluck that does the Evocate.info site. He was actually supposed to join us this time again, but this time it was actually your fault, Chris, that in the end he couldn't make it because he was set to join us on Sunday, and you moved us to Thursday instead. But he'll probably, hopefully, maybe be on the next episode. So
I hope so. I hope so, because nice. I've been looking at his website all night. Evocate.info.
I'd like to do a shout out to the people who behind all of this. You know, the vast unknown army of people who make Evocate what it is. It's a remarkable success story, and I can't help but applaud their efforts. And it's a very different take, and actually having, it's a very brave thing to do. And despite the fact that, you know, I've had some technical problems, as Jim had, with some carts not working properly, it's still remarkable that you can put these carts in. And also, it's lovely, it's a little thing, but you can hot swap these suckers. You don't have to turn anything off, you just take it out, pop in another one, and it carries on going. Feels wrong, feels weird, but that's just how it works. But no, I think the care and attention they put into the creating of these carts, they celebrate them. They celebrate the games. And also, one thing I'd like to really point out is that they are sharing some very rare titles here.
Some very unique
and unknown titles that people, like, I wouldn't have discovered, I wouldn't have known about if I hadn't been dropped in this nice little collection of games. But, I think they definitely love the medium. You know, they are in a business, I get that. But I've just got to recognise their tenacity for providing such extraordinary pieces of entertainment. So thank you, whoever you are.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
Jimbo, good any shout-outs?
Nice. Yeah, just a quick one, actually. So Phil from Retro Titans podcast reached out to us. So I've been listening back to that. Definitely, if you're a fan of Evocade, go and check out his podcast. Yeah. It's absolutely fantastic. I've been really enjoying going through the back catalogue of there. So yeah, I hope we reach out. We'll reach out with Phil and then hopefully see if we can tee something up.
Nice. Yeah. It's a good show. Yeah, I was in touch with him last year and didn't follow up. So I'm glad that you've picked up that, Jim, because you're more reliable than me. Good. It's a good thing. Right. Until next time then, guys, thanks. Anybody who's watched live, and if you're watching on YouTube later, thanks. As they say, the kids on YouTube, smash that like button and whatever else they say, ring the bell or
subscribe,
whatever.
Subscribe.
That's
subscribe and like and leave a comment.
Indeed.
All those three things.
Drop a like.
Do that.
Yeah.
Drop a comment below.
Do all of that. And a very special mention to the Discord members, as usual, and our beautiful Patreons. Until next time, guys, when we talk some Interplay, we'll see you again.
See you later. Bye.
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 From now on, unlike your parents were, you are the secret force of Retro Asylum.
Playing so fast, they're the only ones who can take you back in time. They play old games, they're more retro than J1 Optimus Prime. At home or the arcade for adventures in a fantasy zone. Pretty soon they'll be off on a mission.